You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/ARTS. Just go to Indeed.com/ARTS right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hi, my name is Wendy M. Koch, and I'm the author of A Gray Resort and my newest book, An Awakening. And you're listening to Ghosts in the Valley with Al Cooley.
Okay, today on my show, I have returning back is Wendy M. Koch. She's an author, she's a podcast host, and raising two sets of twins.
Yes, they're all teenagers there now, and I'm about ready.
Right, and they're all still home, you know, and I don't know where you, and you're working, so yeah, I don't know how you have that much time in a day, but let's jump right into jumping. Jumped out of a plane.
Oh yeah, yeah. I did do that.
10,000 feet.
yeah. It was about 12,000 feet, so it's about 3 miles, just short of 3 miles up in the sky. So, it was my first jump, and we were honoring a friend, and you know, I didn't want to jump from that high, but the lady I went with said, no, let's, it's only $30 more. Let's do the highest elevation. I'm like, oh my God. So, yeah, we did it. And, I still can't believe I did it. And I think about that and I'm like, you know, it, never say never in life. I think the scariest thing about it was driving to the place. And I just thought, well, okay, you got the parachute, you know, you have the reserve chute, and then there's another thing that you have. It's like a little, like a little white parachute thing that's at the back that if the first two things don't work, that will come off too. I mean, you know, you still might get hurt if you're falling to the ground, but at least it'll slow you down. Mm-hmm. So, but the scariest thing I think was going on that little prop plane on the way up there. We were walking into the plane, right? And I'm just thinking, okay, I'll be fine as long as I'm not the one closest to the door, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, guess what? I was the last one on the plane, so I was the closest to the door. That wasn't fun. That was probably the scariest.
So there were other jumpers on the plane besides you?
There were. So I did a tandem jump. So we had a professional skydiver attached to me, and there was three of us, three tandem jumpers, and there was also three solo jumpers. So I was the last of the tandem jumpers to get on this little prop plane, and I was sitting right by the door, and that scared the crap out of me. And then the three solo professionals, they were like across from me. And I just thought, oh my God, I'm afraid of heights. I don't like heights.
Yeah, I'm just totally amazed, you know, cause you, you're afraid of heights. You conquered one of your fears. That's cool.
It was cool. At the time I wasn't, I didn't think it was cool. Cause as we were getting ready, even the guy that was my tandem jumper that was with me, he could tell that I didn't have a panic attack, but It was close. I mean, I was just by that door. I kept thinking that I was going to get sucked out of the plane and out of that door, right? And I'm like, and he didn't completely. So there's 4 points where they hook you up, 2 by the shoulders and 2 by the waist. And he hadn't hooked me all the way up yet. It was just like one hook. And I just kept thinking, why? Right. You know, I was like, why? Why aren't you hooking me up? He goes, well, we got to wait till we get to a certain elevation. It's okay. And then so I started pressing my hand on the window, like, because I kept thinking that I didn't have vertigo, but I just kept thinking I was going to like fall out of that door. And he's like, you are not going to fall out. It's okay. Then he started, you know, he was like, oh, what's your favorite flavor of ice cream? He's trying to
Can you
do
get
it.
Your
I
mind
knew
off
what
of
he
it.
was
Yeah.
doing.
Uh-huh. Diverting your attention back to.
Right.
Both other than jumping, you were in the military, and thank you for your service.
Oh,
but I'm thinking, did you ever jump in the service?
Absolutely not. Okay. They asked me to. They said, "Hey, do you want to go airborne?" So after basic and AIT training, which AIT is advanced training, I was called what was my name back then? It was 75 Charlie, but that's not around anymore. It basically a fancy word. It's personnel management specialist, fancy word for paperwork.
Mm-hmm.
I would just get. paperwork ready for soldiers that were about to be promoted. So anyway, after AIT, they ask you if, you know, if anybody wants to go airborne, they can. And that's kind of a cool thing but it's extra training. But I, right away, I was like an absolute no, 100% no.
Mm-hmm.
No, my husband did it. My husband went airborne. He jumped out of a plane, I think like 6 times because after he got his training, he didn't go to an airborne unit. He went to our unit, which was a kind of a pencil pusher unit. But yeah, so he ended up only jumping 6 times. Before I went skydiving, you know, I was asking him, I'm like, how is it going to be? You know, do you like jump? And he's like, you don't really jump. And that's true. They say, oh, jumping out of a plane, you don't really jump. I remember when I got right on the ledge there and the pressure, because it's so high up, and the pressure was probably the worst. I felt it immediately, and we just kind of sort of fell out. He stepped out. I mean, I remember I had a moment of hesitation right at the edge, and he's like, we got to go. And he sort of stepped off for me.
Well, it seemed that, you know, when you landed, you got, you know, we're emotional.
Oh,
naturally.
Yeah.
I mean, and I thought you held together pretty well. I mean, but I could tell by the look on your face that it was so overwhelming, you know,
yeah.
But you also conquered it. You know, you conquered that jump, you know, you did it.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah.
So
yeah.
Like, you did something I wouldn't do. I wouldn't jump unless the plane's on fire, but.
I always said that you'd be surprised at what you can do if, you know, I always said that there's no way I would do it. And I was asked, and, you know, it was a really good friend that we were honoring. And I'm like, okay. And I just, you know, the statistics of it, it is relatively safe. You know, they always watch out for weather, and, you know, the bags are professionally packed. And these guys that I skydived with, you know, they have to have like so many jumps. I don't know, like 500 plus jumps before they can even be considered being a trainer. And, he was very professional and just wonderful. And the worst part was my ears. My ears hurt. It was incredible. I'm like, oh my God. I didn't wear earplugs. I probably should have, but they didn't say anything. And that was it. Yeah. And it was funny. As I was falling, I didn't even have a thought in my head that the parachute wouldn't open. That wasn't my thought. My first immediate thought was like, oh my God, my ears hurt so bad. It was like it in the pressure. And I kind of looked over, and you can see sort of the curvature of the earth. And that was cool. And it was along the lake, so you could see the lake. And then, but it went quite quickly. And then he pulled, you know, the chute. And then I'm like, oh, okay, that's good. Our chute opened. But I didn't even have any thought of that.
And do you feel like you're going like really, really fast falling, or do you feel like you're like floating? I mean, what's that feeling like?
Yeah, it's really strange. It was probably about, I'm not sure, 10, 12 seconds of free fall. And then he pulled the chute. I was just and the strap was so tight across my chest.
Mm-hmm.
I was worried about that. And I was in my ears. I wasn't even worried. I wasn't even thinking like, oh, the parachute's not going to open or anything like that. and he loosened it up because he knew, because he pulled it really tight because I was having like a freak out on the plane, like, oh my God, we're going to, you know, why aren't you strapping me in? So he strapped it really tight, but it was super tight as we were jumping out. I'm like, oh my God. And he loosened it and he's like, is that better? I go, yeah. And he goes, you're doing it. And they tell you, you got to make like a little arc with your arms and legs, kind of like an arc.
Uh-huh.
It's, I don't know, but, and it worked. And then after he pulled the chute and then I'm coming down, then you sort of have like, I'm like, oh my, that's when I realized, wow, I am high up here. And, you know, then as we're coming down, he's like, okay, I might have to make a last second decision, but it looks like we're coming in really good. And then you're quite quickly coming down and it's not fast. It's, you know, he's just kind of guiding us. And then he goes, you know, I think this is going to be good. We can just like stand on your feet. And I'm like, I don't know. So I didn't. And I kind of fell to my side and we fell to the side and it was great. It was a very soft landing. It was fantastic.
Well, I wanted to jump right into your jump. So that's pretty cool.
I was like, you know what? I'll put this on social media. What the heck? Mm-hmm. You know, it was something my dad wanted to do and he never got a chance to do it. And that's why I had that margarita song playing. It was one of my friend's favorite songs. It was my dad's favorite song. So it was kind of cool and fitting.
Yeah. You know, that's what's cool about, you know, having these, you know, having your own podcast, that, you know, as all the guests you have on your show, you know, some of the people you end up, you know, you're connected with, you know.
Absolutely.
You know, some you probably never talk again, you know, but there's some others that, you know, and I have quite a few, you know, that keep in contact and, you know, and it's always a pleasure talking to you and others, you know. And so I was going to get right into your podcast,
yeah,
you know, the Juicy Pear podcast. You know, I started following you when you had a partner. Now you've been doing it for quite a while on your own and you're doing quite well. And
thank you. It's a lot of work, you know, as you know, because I used to have an episode come out every week.
Uh-huh.
And it's just not doable. You know, I have a third book coming out. I have a part-time job and, you know, I have to be here for my kiddos.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, it's just it got to be a lot. So I've gone down quite a bit to like maybe two episodes a month. And I might go to one episode a month. I'm not sure, but because I love podcasting, I always want to, you know, have it out there and have it active. It's just I'm not sure how many episodes I'm going to be having, but you know, and I think the time consuming part is the editing after. I don't know what's your thought on that. That's because I love the interview. I love interviewing people, but going back through it. Yeah, that's very time consuming.
I'm probably a stickler for this, you know, because I've had my own video production business for 20 years and I had in a band. So, you know, I'm used to the studio. I'm used to editing. I'm used to all that. But, you know, it is. I mean, as far as like to me, you know, somebody burps or farts or whatever on the air, I like to take that out. You know, it's just to me more professional, you know, but I know there's a lot of people out there who like to do the...
they just leave it all in there. I don't know. I don't think people have the attention span for all that, you know?
You know, if you want to leave that in there and 35,000 F-bombs or whatever, you know, it's and you can't do your episode without dropping those 35, you know.
Yeah.
So it's to me, I cut out certain things that I don't think is appropriate.
Right.
People are pissed off because I cut out, you know, if it's political or...
Oh, yeah.
Or if you're attacking somebody else.
Oh, absolutely. I'm the same way.
So I'm sorry. I'm not going to...
Right.
You can talk what you want to talk about, but when you start blasting other people or certain things, I have to take that out.
It's a cheap way for people to get attention. And I think they, you know, that is one route to go about it, but it's not something I do. Yeah, I don't care for it either. But you know, it's your show. You can do what you want. I hate it when people like, well, are you going to have that in there and that? I don't know. I'll see when I edit it. If I want it in there, I'll have it in there. If I don't, well, guess what? No.
When I first started out, I was the same. I was going to go gung-ho. You know, I had three podcasts.
Wow. How did you manage all that? My goodness.
And promote the people that aren't signed, you know. And that's hard trying to get people on here. I'm trying to promote you, and you don't care about promoting yourself.
Yeah, I don't get it with people. I don't.
I've had authors on my show the same way. I was like pulling teeth on one guest, you know. It's like, We want to talk about your book. And I says, can you talk about your book? And she just says, it's out.
Oh, Lord.
Okay, what's it about? It's about a story.
Right.
I mean,
Thank you for narrowing it down for me.
After about 2 minutes, I had a pause on this. You know, we can either make this like real short, like a 5 minute interview, or I'm here to promote you, to help you out, you know.
Well, it's infuriating because I don't think people, and with social media as well, I don't think not everyone knows how to navigate it in the way that will promote them. And then they also got to understand that, you know, we're providing a service. You know, we are promoting creatives. And I mean, I don't really make any money doing this at all. I love podcasting. I love meeting really cool people like yourself. And I, you know, learning about things. Like, I had no idea about the Mothman and Festival. I didn't even know that was a thing. And I found that out through podcasting. So that's why I do it. And I think that's why you do it too. You like creatives.
Well, love creatives. I love learning. Like you said, learning. I learn every time I have a guest on. You know, I learn, you know, what a wood booger was. I didn't know what that was.
What is that? Is that a bird?
It's a Bigfoot. So in the South, a lot of people in the southern states call Bigfoot a wood booger. And I'm like, I said, okay, that's a first for me.
Me too.
The fae, the little people. Until I had the people on, I never heard of a fae, you know.
I actually had someone on, I had someone on my podcast a couple of years ago that she actually saw fairies. Mm-hmm. Yeah, she did. She actually saw it. Somebody out in England, I can't think of her name right now, but she saw it in the forest. I'm like, what? Yeah, very, very intriguing.
Well, I got to give you your props, you know, because you've come a long way in your podcasting and your editing and your the sound, and
I appreciate that.
It's a lot when you're like like myself, you know, you do it solo.
I had no idea what I was doing when I was with my partner. I mean, we were just sort of like, I did take a class so I could figure out how to get it on the directories and things like that. But I was just like, oh, you know what? I'm just going to dive right in here and we'll figure it out as we go. Because I feel like, I don't know if anybody's really ready. You just kind of got to do it. And then as you do it, you just get better like anything else.
Right. When I started in 2019, I was like, there was like 300,000, I think 350,000 podcasters out there.
Yeah.
In the U.S., you know, because it was just.
How many are there now?
It's over, what I just checked the other day is there's something like 5 million or so. It's like, it's really up there worldwide. It's like 100, it's huge.
Right.
And so, you know, it's grown a lot, you know.
It has. But considering the population of everywhere worldwide, it's still sort of, you know.
But then the people who survive you know, you start a show out and you find out, like you said, how much work's involved that you want to invest in equipment. And there's very little money coming back to you unless you're like Joe Rogan or
Right.
There's no, I mean, I make some money on my advertisements, you know, and it pays for my yearly hosting.
That's good. But there's so many shysters out there. I get inundated with. Want to promote your podcast. And, you know, I just like all the time.
It's promoting your podcast, promoting your book, you know, and you get you know, I didn't know that in my own book, I didn't know how many, like you said, shysters. I mean, I got taken right off the bat by my book cover, you know, so I learned real quick that you just can't trust. And even if it's a reputable company you're working with, there's people that get in there and.
Right. I didn't think that was like, that's a whole thing. That's like a whole industry of people trying to, you know, they're trying to get the rights to your book, the creative rights to your book. They're trying, you know, I can't think of anything lower. I mean, you know, you spend years on a project or you spend such a significant amount of time on your own creative work. And then you get someone there I've heard some of these stories. They're just nightmare stories. I just saw something the other day on a book group that I'm a part of, and I just happened to be kind of glancing at it, and she said that this publishing company, which there's so many now, and they're not all legitimate, and she had, for some reason, accidentally texted or emailed her book proof, her entire book manuscript to this person, company, whatever, and then she went back, and the person blocked everything and can't get, and now she's like, oh my God, somebody has my book, you know, and she's like terrified. I'm like, oh my God, you know, they could say, oh, it was, that's my book. You know, that's why it's so important to get an ISBN number and a copyright.
Uh-huh.
I just fell for her. I don't know this person, but I was just reading, you know, her comment. And I'm like, oh my gosh, you got to protect yourself.
Well, yeah, you and I are both members of Book Baby, you know, publishing,
yes.
Which I had worked with them before, not in books, but in CDs. They were originally called CD Baby.
Okay.
And Book Baby is like their little spinoff of CD Baby.
Yeah.
And when I was in a band, we did our first CD professionally made through CD Baby. And it was, you know, very well done. So I was like, I says, well, if they're that good in CDs, they have to be great in books, you know. Then I've been watching a couple other people had Book Baby, and I says, okay. And I bought your book, you know. We'll get into that in a little bit, you know, The Great Resort. You know, yeah. I thought that was very well done, you know, professionally packaged. And
yeah, and you can attest to this. When you first get your box of books, or when you see the first proof, I think I cried. Well, okay. Yeah, I should back up. Before I got my box of books, when they sent me the first proof of the book cover, after I told them what I wanted, how I wanted it to look, and the colors and the font and all that, and when I first opened it up, I think I might have cried, because I'm like, oh my God, they got it. They got it. You know,
and it matched, that cover matched the story so well. I mean, I'm not going to get into all your characters, you know, but it's like I can picture the dude swimming underneath that water, you know.
I know. And guess what? It looked just like, and like we were talking about this before. I mean, our house, our original house that sits maybe, I don't know, 50 feet away from the shore line, I had my bedroom in the basement. And so the window was kind of high up. So when I woke up, it would look like I was on a houseboat, because I didn't see, you know, the ground. I just saw the lake, and it looks just like that. You know, we have four docks, and it looks like one of those docks. So
yeah, I think when you went back, I don't know if you took your daughters back there to the resort.
I did.
I seen some of the pictures you had posted. Mm-hmm. Like, it did. It reminded me of your book cover. You know, it was, so they did a great job on that.
Thank you.
Let's get into the book. Let's get into, okay, you're an author also, besides your podcast host and mother. And an author, being an author, like you said, your first book did you go into this thinking you're going to make more than one as a spinoff of the first one, or was it a one and done?
It was a one and done. I felt, just because it took, like, so A Gray Resort, it came out in 2019. It took, I want to say, 8 years to write, just because at that time I was in the throes of parenting. You know, I was changing diapers, and I really just sort of kind of lost myself in motherhood a little bit. Mm-hmm. And it was a creative outlet for me to write this book. And I just kind of thought back to all the fun and cool times that it was growing up on that resort. My parents had some great parties during the 70s and 80s, and they were just very inclusive people. They included everybody, and it was a fun atmosphere. And in addition to that, there was paranormal activity around the area. And I just thought, you know what? I want to write something back to that time, because I liked it so much, and I wanted to write a book about it. So as I was writing it, you know, during late nights, when I would get no, you know, sleep from having to get up to change, to feed babies and things like that, I would have these notes too. And that's why it took so long. But yeah, and I didn't have any intention of creating a series. I just thought the book just... You know, I didn't know anybody in publishing. I had one author friend, and she had said, you know, you ought to try Book Baby. They're very professional. They're very reputable. Go with them. And I'm like, okay, but I didn't know anything else regarding publishing or anything like that. And, you know, I had lost half my manuscript. I was plagued with problems in the beginning, and it was hard. And I almost didn't do it, because I was like, oh my God, I don't think this is going to happen. And then I just sort of, you know, I had a fire in my belly about it. And I'm like, you know what? It is going to happen. Just make it happen no matter what. So I did. And then I just thought, you know what? I'm going to get old anyway. So I can either get old and not be an author and not have it published, or keep working on the book and then just make my dream come true and just keep doing it. Even if it's a little bit, you know, I'd get discouraged if I hadn't worked on it in a few weeks, and then I'd just come back to it and then I get excited about it again. Like, oh my God, this is pretty good. I really have to say, I want to get this out there. And I'm so glad I did, because when it did, my life changed with that first book signing. It was just, it was amazing.
Okay, well, what I'm going to do, we'll take a short break here. When we come back into the book, I want you to talk about the characters in this book, you know, because...
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I love Cassie and...
Oh, my God. She's my favorite.
You can, you know, you can connect with the characters, you know.
Yeah.
Well, we'll be right back.
That sounds good.
Are you looking for a new book to read? Check out my newest book, An Awakening, by Wendy M. Cope, last name spelled K-O-K. Basically, it's a story of good versus evil, and these things slowly start taking over the residents of this small northern town of Neillsville, Wisconsin, and I would love it if you would read it. My books are available on Barnes & Noble, Amazon, Book Baby Bookshop, everywhere really, and you can find me at WendyMCopeAuthor.com.
Okay, I'm back with Wendy. We were talking about your first book, The Gray Resort. And so let's get into what the book's about and some of the characters.
Yeah, so really the book is just, I wanted to create something that I didn't want to make it like a cheesy romance, but I wanted to really capture the essence of the time of the 70s and 80s. And I wanted to capture really that feeling of when you're first falling in love. And also, you know, the main character, Brooke Larkin, and she has these abilities, a sixth sense, clairvoyance, and trying to navigate that as well as being a teenager. And and I just wanted to capture what it's like living on a fishing resort in the middle of nowhere. My favorite character in the book is Cassie Dupree. She is, she's extravagant. She's loud. Her persona is, you know, everyone knows, you know, she's the person in the room or at the bar, whatever, you know, where she is, where she's sitting. She, you know, obnoxious, you know, has got the red lipstick, the white blonde beehive hairdo, the very eccentric. You know, there's something very, very heartwarming with her as well. I mean, as much as she can get on people's nerves, there's just something about her, her originality that, and she was really fun to write. And she was also based on a real character. So she was actually my parents' neighbor. She lived right close to the resort, her and her husband, Lyle. That's not his real name, but yeah. And they would always come to the parties, and I was so glad that she did, because she made him really fun.
Your mother's still living, correct?
Yes. Yeah. My dad has passed away.
And how does she react to the book? I mean, to some of the characters?
She was really proud. And she was like, oh, man, I know you wrote about her. I know who you're talking about. I go, yeah. She was very supportive and excited. And, you know, when I go back to the hometown every couple of years, I'll go next year. And she like tells people in town, oh, my daughter's got this book. And yeah, she's happy for me. And she's been very supportive.
I love the way you tied the paranormal into that, into the book.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
That was really well done.
Well, thank you. Well, it's kind of based on how I felt when I was growing up. You know, I would have this ability and I didn't really understand where it was coming from, and I thought it was coming from a bad place, you know. And at the same time, growing up during that time where you just didn't really, and I think you can attest to this too, because you had a similar experience. When you're seeing ghosts in your house, you know, you just didn't talk about that sort of thing back then. That wasn't really as prevalent as it is today. I think society as a whole has probably gotten a lot more spiritual than it was way back in the 70s and 80s. So you just didn't talk about that sort of thing. And so I like to write even back then. So I kind of wrote about my experiences and how I felt. And so I had a lot of material for the book. So it starts out, the main character, Brooke Larkin, it's kind of, from me, it's kind of what I experienced. And, you know, she's going out on the dock, she's fishing one night, and then she sees something that, you know, she really can't explain. It kind of scares her a little bit, kind of shakes her world a little bit. And yeah, kind of goes on from there. And then she realizes that she has this sort of ability. And then as you get kind of into the book, you're like, oh, wow, this things aren't what they seem in this town. And some of the people that are around me might not be who they say they are, kind of thing.
And that led you into going into book two, which was called An Awakening. How did you come up with the characters in that book? I mean, the new guys.
Yeah. So, yeah, there was a lot of characters in that book. In fact, I'm a third one. I had to kill off a bunch. I just had to. So that's sort of a spoiler. But yeah, on the second book, I've had some people say, you know, that is really sort of a spiritual book, like a dense book. There's a lot going on in this book. And I was going through a lot at the time. And yeah, I have two characters in there. The Traveler as well, as that's a new character. And he comes into this town with his wife, and he's realizing that there's things going on in this town that are not good. And he decides to kind of help the humans of the town, so to speak, because he's kind of supernatural. And, you know, as things start to take on a life of their own in this town, then we start to see, you know, some of the people that live around that resort. Margie Sutton, who is the owner of the River Edge Bar that's near the resort, is starting to see some strange things out on the water. And yeah, it just kind of goes more in depth with that's my grandfather clock, sorry.
That's right.
Yeah, it kind of goes in depth with, you know, strange things are happening in this town, and you know, it's kind of taking people by surprise, and they're not quite sure what to do about it or how to go about fixing it, kind of thing.
And now you're writing a new one. I mean, it's a trilogy, basically, right?
Yes.
A series.
Yep. I want to make it two, where maybe they didn't necessarily read the first two books, and they'll, with this third one, be able to pick it up and kind of quite quickly kind of pick up on what's going on in the story. And, you know, I mean, I would love to have everyone read right from the beginning, because it kind of makes a nice backdrop to what's going on. So the third book really is a battle between good and evil. That's the heart of the book. It's got, you know, romance, it's got friendship and loyalty, and it's got all these things, good and evil, tied into one. And really, we find out that, you know, one person's actions, they made a choice, and it really snowballed into this huge thing now that they're trying to contain and figure out. And there's chaos. And yeah, and it's one of it's the hardest book to write.
Yeah, I remember you telling me that this one is tough for you. I mean, why is that?
I think because I know it's going to be the last one in the series. I'm trying to tie all the characters together in a cohesive way. I want the book to be a page turner, where you know, I want to keep people on the pulse of the book. I want to keep it sharp. And, you know, it's just been, because I'm not very much of a plotter. I'm kind of a pantser when it comes to writing. I just kind of write by the seat of my pants.
Uh-huh.
So it's kind of bite me in the butt now, but I've had it professionally edited, and I've had her take a second turn on it, which is good. And she's like, wow, this is going to be a cool book when it comes out. I go, I know, right? But I'm still trying to get the second bits of edits in the book. Now, if I could do this full time, I would have had it done. But yeah, I really wanted to get it out in time for, you know, the Halloween season, you know, around the holidays, but it's just not going to work out. I mean, it's already too late. You know, you really need 90 days of marketing and things like that. So I'm like, well, you know what? I'll do it in the spring. I'm so excited to get it out there. I can't wait. I can't wait for people to read it. I've put so much heart and soul into it. And I think they will, I think they'll love it.
Do you have a title to the book yet, or is that still in the works?
I do.
Or you don't want to share it yet?
I don't know. I'll share it with you, but I don't know if I want to share it with the audience.
So let's wait afterwards.
Okay.
You know, I'm a big fan of y'all. I had both your books at the Great Resort. I'd so have the Great Resort. I lent an Awakening out to a friend. I don't know who I lent it to because I lent so many books out.
And oh,
I can't remember who I gave it to, and I haven't had it back. So
yeah,
I hate to keep going, hey, do you have my book? You know,
right. That's annoying, isn't it?
Well, yeah, you know, and another thing, you know, like I had a person who said they asked me if they could have a free copy. You know, and I'm like, I wish I could give out a lot of free copies, you know, but,
right.
You know, and, you know, I just ordered some new books, you know, and it's not cheap to order your books. I mean, you have to make some money off of them, you know.
Well, here's the thing. You have taken, so we're entertaining people, right? When they're reading our book, you're being entertained, or you're taking, you know, we're taking them away from reality and having them go into this world and the story. You know, it's nice to get reimbursed for that. Just think of it as, you know, they're going to a movie, they buy a movie ticket. You know, people want things for free, but, you know, it's a lot of heart and soul. I mean, it's not, you got to charge for your books because, you know.
It's a lot of work you're putting into it, a lot of money you're putting into it. Right. And it's a lot of work. I mean, there's people don't realize, you know, as far as, you know,
I don't think they realize writing it. They think it's easy.
You have to edit it. Third person, first, second person, third person. So if I'm going back to the past, but they kept telling me put it in the present tense of the past. Well, you know, that's tough.
That is tough.
Because I'm talking about the past in the past.
I think you navigated it really well in your book. I really enjoyed your book. I think it's absolutely, it's wonderful. There's like, it takes you back again, you know, kind of nostalgia, but it's just, it's so cool. It's like, it's almost, I feel like it could be a classic because, you know, it's these teenagers coming of age and the things that they've encountered. And, you know, I had really,
so many people tell me, you know, you're targeting to the young adult because it's just through the eyes of Lee Spencer, which is me in a book. So you're taking you to a 12-year-old to 16-year-old. And I know you yourself, you're writing about some facts that happened to you as on that resort, and it meant a lot to you growing up on a resort. I could tell, you know. Right. So, you know, as writing as another fictional character,
yeah,
it's tough, you know. And then
it is tough. You had a lot of dialogue into, and that is that takes, you can tell it takes a long time. And I, you know, sometimes some people don't realize, you know, they just snap their fingers and oh yeah, get this book out. I have a couple people like, I don't have, like, I think I was telling you before, I don't have this kind of time. I really want this third book. I go, well, yeah, I hear you.
Right. You know, it does take time. It takes time to publish. It takes time to, for even editing the picture or the whole nine yards, you know, and then promoting. I mean,
that's a whole nother animal.
Marketing and, oh yeah.
It's a whole other thing.
Wants money. Everybody can. I can do this for you. I can put you on. I can get you. Oh yeah, sure you can. Okay.
Right. There's a lot of BS out there. I'm just going
to
show
you. People like yourself and me. You know, you have to go out and you have to do this yourself. You have to, because you're a self publisher. So yourself, you're independent author. So you have to go through pound on doors and drop it off places and do book signings and.
Yeah.
If you just sit back and say, "Oh, Amazon's going to sell me a million copies," well, that's not going to happen.
You have to do your own work and you have to do it. And it can be a full-time job for sure. And there's a lot of closed doors there. When you first are starting out, you know, it's kind of sad in a way that it's like that, but there's just a lot of gatekeepers out there. You have to find your way around that. You know, you can.
I'm going to ask you the same. I'm going to ask you the same question. I was on a show the other night and the young lady asked me, why now? Mm-hmm. I'm like, okay, why now? What? Why now? Why did you wait so long? Because, you know, this happened 57 years ago.
Right.
Give them my age out there now. But, you know, happened so long ago. Why now? Why didn't you write it back then or write it maybe 20 years ago? It's because, you know, it's paranormal now is more acceptable, I think. You know, for you have the internet, you know, that's a big thing. You go back, like as we were talking before, you know, like you and I both, you know, when you go back before the internet, who do you talk to?
You don't talk to anybody. You're like your friends. And even then, it's like,
you had stuff happen to you on the resort. So who do you talk to? Who do you talk to about that? I mean, that's going to really sit and listen to you, you know, or believe you and not calling you a nut.
Right.
You know,
I don't think the word anxiety existed in the 70s. That wasn't a thing. That wasn't.
No. So, you know, so that's a big thing. Now we both can benefit on, we both have podcasts, so we can spread the news. You have podcast friends, you have,
it's Facebook, a great way. Facebook, yeah. It's a great way.
Facebook groups and TikTok and I mean, all these, the new adventures, you know.
Well, think about it. If you published your book 20 years ago, well, you know, Amazon wasn't invented yet. Any of the social medias wasn't invented yet. So that wouldn't have been good. This is like prime time to be an author, really, you know. So it's actually a blessing. It happens when it's supposed to happen, right? So it was supposed to happen later in life.
Right. I'm thinking back when I had my, even when I had my documentary, Ghosts in the Valley, you know, this is in the 90s. So I'm thinking, I had to go and put ads out in newspapers, you know, in the Pittsburgh and Cleveland and I mean places, you know, that I could probably sell my back then VHS. Going into DVD. Oh, yeah. So I'm transitioning from VHS recorders to digital
Blockbuster video.
Right. Then you're going to from digital video to, you know, just download, just to put it on a drive. Yeah, so there was so much changes within this time period.
And
it was tough. And I was fortunate to sell a lot of copies, you know, but it wasn't cheap, you know.
No. And you know, I wanted to mention too, that about my first book, A Gray Resort, going on Audible.
Oh, yeah, I want to talk about that. That was awesome.
Yeah, thank you. Because I kind of waited on that because that can be pricey, but I just felt like I was missing out on a type of audience that, you know, not everyone likes to read books, but they want to listen to it. And I felt like there is an untapped market out there. And I thought, you know what, I want to add some more life to this book. And Crystal and Andrew Underwood, I wanted to mention them. Crystal Underwood narrated it and Andrew helped me produce it. And it's just fantastic. Crystal Underwood really captured the essence of A Gray Resort and the characters. And, you know, it was a lot of back and forth. It was hard, but it was worth it. You know, when I first decided I wanted to get it on Audible, then I had to have, you know, I kind of put it out there on Facebook. And then I had all these people, send me some copies of, you know, narrations and stuff. And it just wasn't. It wasn't right, you know. It was, I had one, it was like very bubblegummy and I'm like, no, this isn't it. And Crystal captured it right away. And she had told me, she said, right when you put that out there, she go, I don't do this for every book. And I just thought, oh, I have to do it. And I'm so glad she did. And she sent me a message and sent me a little sample. And I'm like, you know what, this is going to work. I didn't know anything about Audible and I had to kind of teach myself about ACX, which is like sort of the back office of Audible. And they would send me a chapter and then I would go and listen to it and do some editing or ask them, you know, could you do this and that? And yeah, it was a process, but I'm so glad I did that. I'm so glad it's on Audible now. And if you have any listeners that would want to listen to my book, I do have a few codes I could give you or I could put out there and they could actually listen to it for free for a certain amount of time. So
you can go on Audible and download a sample.
Yes.
What I'll try to put a link to that in here. So, cause that's what I did. I went down, listened to your sample.
Yep.
And
yeah.
I thought it was so, I'm like, wow, she is really good. I mean, from the accents to the,
yeah, and guess who her favorite character is?
I want to say Cassie.
Oh, yeah. She had such a ball doing that character, and you could tell, too. She really nailed it. She really nailed the essence of Cassie, and that made, I mean, she made the characters jump off the page, and it's just such a wonderful experience.
I thought she did Brooke very well. So,
yes. Yeah.
I was like, wow, you did a good job, because, you know, I think that would be the tough part was trying to get somebody, because you know, you wrote the book, you know how you want this to sound.
Right.
So, and I think she, I'm just speaking for you right now. I think that she did a great job. And I think it's what you were looking for.
It's exactly what I was looking for. And it's kind of funny how things like that just sort of fall in your lap. Like if it's meant to be, it'll find its way to you. I'm really a big believer in that. Because I thought it was going to be sort of a daunting task. You know, I thought it was going to be months of, you know, trying to figure out who I'm going to have to do it. But once I heard her voice and knowing that she was going to be good, this is going to be it. And I kind of felt that way about my editor, too, of the book coming out, because I needed an editor. And yeah, she sort of just fell in my lap, too. And I thought, you know what, I'm going to trust that. And it's served me well so far.
Well, I have to say, you know, it's cool when you have your book out in paperback form, ebook, and also Audible.
I know. You should do yours in Audible, too.
I have the ISBN for the Audible. I bought a group package of those. So
okay.
I have the number in my book for the Audible. But I'm waiting for that certain spark. You know, I have to hear the certain spark for the...
Right.
And I try to do it myself. I got to like two chapters in. Now I got to do this myself. After all, yeah, that wasn't what I want to do. I want to, because if I'm speaking through the eyes of Lee Spencer, you know, he's 12 years old. And it just takes away, I think, for me doing it. If I was looking back and doing a whole story without anybody talking, maybe, you know.
But yeah.
I stopped after two chapters. So, no, I'm not going to do this, you know.
Yeah. Well, you'll know when
that's a lot of work, too.
It is so much work. So, yeah, just be prepared. You got to have like a blank of time to be able to put the, you know, time into doing that back and forth with the chapters. It takes a couple months, give or take a few. Yeah.
I hope it just don't take me 57 years like it did.
No.
Like this other one.
But yeah, well, yeah. It's out though. I mean, it's so great that it's out.
Then you had some other books you did too, that you were a group of authors put a couple books out.
I know. I've been part of a couple of anthology books. Mm-hmm. The latest one is Triumph Over Trauma, and it's a bunch of short stories of empowering stories. Yeah, and I'm proud to be a part of that as well. Yeah, there's... I know. It's exciting. And I'm working on a couple short stories, too, for a contest that's going on. I got to get those in. And
so what's your plans now after this third trilogy? I mean, this is going to be the end of the Resort series, but what's the name of the trilogy? You got any name for the trilogy?
I would probably 1,000 Years of Crooked Forest. I think I'm just going to go with that. That was like the subtitle of my first book, A Gray Resort. I think that's kind of a nice title for the series. I may change it, but I don't think I will. I don't know if I'm going to do a series ever again. I've said that to my friends. Husband, I'm like, oh my God, I don't, but you never say never.
Well, another book in the works or?
Yes. I have another book in mind that I'm actually working on. And I'm very excited about it. It's kind of based on someone I know, but I'm changing a bunch of things and I'm excited. I'm pretty sure it's going to be a standalone book. But I'm already working on that. And
mystery or romance?
I think it's going to be like a psychological thriller.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, like the slow decline. I'm just going to leave it at that. I'm excited to get that out. That'll be a couple of years down the road, probably two years. But yeah, my third one, I'm excited about it. I can't wait to get it out there. And like I said, I wanted to get it out this fall, but it's not going to happen. So it'll be out next year in the spring.
Well, you know, it's been my pleasure having you on the show today. I can't wait to have you back on again once this book comes out. And
thank you.
We'll start promoting that, you know, and we'll get a catch up on all the other ones, you know.
It's always a great time coming on the show and chatting with you, Al. Thank you so much for inviting me. And
I'll put your links in the bottom. And what do you have coming up? Anything coming up? Speaking engagements or book signings or?
I might have a book signing in about a month or two. I have to see. I'm planning on that, but it hasn't been set in stone yet. But I'm just kind of working. I really want to get this third book out, so I just got to concentrate on getting that out. But yeah, if anybody would like to buy my books, I'm on Amazon, and just look up my name, Wendy Koch, K-O-K. And the first book is A Gray Resort.
Tell everybody out there, they are fantastic. They're worth every penny.
Oh, thank you, Al.
Support Wendy. Listen to her podcast, Juicy Pear. It's awesome. And we'll have you back on again.
Thank you so much. Look forward to it. always have fun chatting with you. It's always a good time.
Thank you, Wendy Koch. Please go to Amazon and pick up Wendy Koch's books, A Gray Resort, An Awakening. And also, The Gray Resort is available on audio. Support Wendy. She's a great author, great person, great podcast host. And I'm looking forward to having her back on the show next year when her final book in her series will be out. And also, while you're on Amazon, check out my book, Spencer's Ghost. It just came out this past October 1st. It's a fantastic book for Halloween, for Christmas, to give away as a gift to that loved one that is interested in the paranormal. I would also like to mention this past weekend, I was a guest speaker at the Fleetwood Church Paracon. It was a fantastic gathering. I want to thank Donnie Parker and Denny O'Rourke and their whole gang at Spirit Guides Paranormal in Brandy Station, Virginia. It was absolutely a great time. We will have the Spirit Guides team on the show coming up, talking about their adventures and also the great work they're doing for that church. I'm your host, Al Cooley, and I'll see you in 2 weeks with another great episode of Ghosts in a Valley podcast.